Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear confirmation class of 2020, and to all of you, our friends in Jesus Christ, the Word of God for this day, for our Old Testament reading, this Trinity Sunday, is the account of the creation. It's Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, the entire chapter. I, however, am going to shorten it up a little bit here and read the part that I especially want to focus on with you this morning. This is from Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it has been a very difficult and strange year, this year of our Lord 2020. And as if COVID-19 weren't bad enough, now we have all of these tensions and these riots and this violence surrounding the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis by a police officer. And then everybody takes up sides, as if one side or the other has all righteousness on their side. Some side with minority groups who are dealing and have been dealing for centuries with the injustice of racism in our land. And others will side with police officers and business people who are being attacked with bricks and firebombs. And it's just all getting so ugly. And I just wish I could sit the world down. If you remember the old commercial, buy the world a Coke, maybe give it a Snickers bar, and then read the account of the creation to the whole world, with its reminder of our common origin and of our common humanity, that in the beginning, God created mankind in his own image. But the world, for the most part, has rejected that view of our humanity. And it favors instead the view that we are descended from the animals through the violent, cruel, bloody process of evolution. The rejection of God as our creator is not just a benign philosophy, but it completely changes our understanding of who we are and of how we see each other and of what life even means. And if we are animals who are still evolving, then I guess it should come as no surprise that all of the elements of evolution are still operative. That pack mentality that breeds aggression and hostility against those who are not like us, the strong preying upon the weak, bloodshed without remorse, devouring one another, because after all, that's evolution. That's what animals do. But we hold to a much loftier and a much more sublime and beautiful view of what it means to be human. And we confess today, I believe that God made me and all creatures. And that confession of faith not only informs our understanding of who we are as those who've been created in the image of God, but it also changes the way we look at each other. And we see in each other commonality in our shared humanity and intrinsic dignity bestowed by God upon others just as much as upon me. So what happened in Minneapolis? An image bearer of the Creator was suffocated to death by a fellow image bearer of the Creator. And that killing sparked many image bearers of the Creator to lash out at still other image bearers of the Creator, accusing them of all manner of evil. And as these conflicted groups of image bearers of the Creator exchanged accusations from places of pride and defiance and bitterness and anger, still other image bearers of the Creator took it upon themselves to pillage and to loot neighborhoods full of image bearers of the Creator, destroying their property and their livelihoods and even killing some of them in the name of justice. Not because they did anything wrong, just because they belonged to the wrong pack. What is going on? I like the way one person said it. The problem is not skin. The problem is sin. And Luther reminds us in the Small Catechism that what's going on here, it's not just that we are animals evolving and doing what animals do. What's going on here is that we have lost the image of God. This is rebellion against our Creator, and this is what it comes to. We have lost the righteousness and those holy desires and that knowledge of God with which we were first created. And Genesis points out that while our common father, Adam, was created in God's image, that Adam's children were born in Adam's image as fallen, broken sinners. And ever since then, what the scriptures say are true, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, which is the Bible's way of saying sinners give birth to sinners. And now here we are in this big, hot mess. Divided into packs by racism, tribalism, sexism, nationalism, the politics of identity, because in sin we have lost our perspective of our common humanity. And then there is anger and resentment fueled by historical wrongs, grinding poverty, injustices, lack of economic access, because in sin we have lost our vision how to love our neighbor. George Floyd, struggling to breathe, pleading for his life, was nevertheless killed, because in sin we have become willfully deaf to the cries of the downtrodden, even though they too have the breath of God. And now our nation is in tumult because in our collective sin we have rejected God as our Lord. And now people claim to fight injustice by perpetrating more injustices, as if darkness can drive out darkness, because in sin we have lost all sense of righteousness. And the underlying cause of all of it is that in our sinful rebellion we have lost the image of God. We have lost that guiding light of righteousness and of a holy will and of the perfect knowledge of God that were possessed by our first parents in paradise. And now all of us are part of the problem by virtue of having been born in sin. And I think these days God is driving something home to us that we need to remember over and over and be taught over and over, that His creation is hopelessly marred by sin and it is begging for redemption. Can we not see, after all of these years, and centuries, can we not see that no man-made remedy, no political solution, no social cause or crusade, no new world order will ever heal this eternal wound? And that's why the Bible warns us, do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in mortal men who cannot save. Presidents and governors and mayors cannot save us. The police and the National Guard cannot save us. Antifa and rioters and protesters and those who seek revolution cannot save us. The political right cannot save us. The political left cannot save us. There is only one set of nail-scarred hands that can deliver us from this hot mess we're in. Earlier this week, I saw on the satire website Babylon Bee this ironic headline. Let's see if I can get to that. There we go. Nation wishes God would send someone who could unify people across races, classes, genders, tribes, tongues. Oh, that God would send someone to bring us all together. And then we read these words from Romans. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sin came into the world because of one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. But if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Oh, that God would send somebody to bring us together. He has. And now we are his ambassadors in this broken, fighting, hurting world of ours. And God is making his appeal through us, confirmants. God is making his appeal through you as you go on from here to high school and wherever you go. God is making his appeal through us to tell this divided world that God did send somebody to unify people across all of these sinfully constructed barriers that separate us and divide us. Just as people from all over the world came together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached for the first time, ours is a message that brings humanity together. Not only do we share a common origin as those who have been created in the image of God, but even more glorious than that, we share a common Savior who gave his life to redeem our lives from the hell that has been unleashed on this earth because of sin. Therefore, we will undertake a revolution of our own, a revolution of Christian love. And it will begin when I repent and when you repent of anything you ever said or did or any attitude that you hold by which we consider and treat others to be less than those for whom Christ died. And then having repented, we will go forth as the redeemed of Christ, with our hearts made new, to be peacemakers in this world. One person, one heart, one soul at a time. We are the ones. And confirmants, think about this when you go to high school. We are the ones who are supposed to stand out from the angry mob. We are the ones in whom God has begun to restore his image through Christ in us. We are the ones who are to be clothed with his compassion and his kindness and his humility and gentleness and patience. And as those whose lives are now adorned with these fruits of the Spirit, We will peaceably pursue our neighbor's interests until justice rolls like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream for all people. And we will repentantly seek new hearts that do nothing out of selfish ambition, but that consider others as better than ourselves. And we will joyfully acknowledge and proclaim the knowledge of our God, of a Father who created us, all of us, in His image, of His Son who redeemed us, all of us, by His blood, and of His Spirit who beckons us, all of us, to this one true faith. You are created in His image. Let us bear that image now in this hurting world. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.